Welcome to the program, listeners. You are listening to WISR 680 AM 107.5 FM. I'm Tyler Friel. This is the extended news at noon. And it is also National Rural Road Safety Week. You've probably been out and about, and you've noticed there's some farm equipment out on the road now. We've hit that time of year. And with that, we bring in members of the Butler County Farm Bureau. James Teeley and Guy Dobenspeck are here. James, Guy, good afternoon. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Well, first of all, before we dive into National Rural Road Safety, James, I'll start with you. Could you guys describe a little bit more about what the Butler County Farm Bureau does?
So Butler County Farm Bureau is a agriculture advocacy organization, and what we do is we go around to events and promote agriculture. And one of the main things we do, we actually talk to our legislators about legislative issues that we have to do with farming, and we try to get bills passed. And some of the bills that we've tried to pass or help pass is maybe like getting whole milk back in schools, dealing with stuff like on roadways, you know, like this farm equipment's getting bigger, and also like other issues with like stormwater management, wildlife issues, you know, stuff that deals with us farmers.
Well, I know last week, obviously, we dealt with a number of those brush fire issues and things like that. So it's that time of year as well. But as you mentioned there, rural road safety, obviously, Butler County people have encountered a lot of tractors, you know, wagons on the road. So, Guy, I'll turn to you here. You know, what's your message for people out there whenever you see something like this?
Slow down and pay attention.
And, you know, if you could kind of take me through some tips then that drivers need to know exactly whenever they encounter.
Well, you want to bear in mind that we are probably traveling anywhere from 10 to 25 to 30 miles an hour slower than the flow of traffic. Oftentimes, what we are pulling behind us is either wide or long, sometimes both. And just, you know, be aware of what's going on around you.
And, you know, I think especially in today's day and age, you know, people are always in a hurry. They're looking to get somewhere fast. I'm sure you encounter a number of drivers who make overly aggressive moves, James. What, I mean, obviously there's a danger to it, but what dangers are there when people do that?
I mean, there are accidents that occur. People don't pay attention and they end up rear-ending you or something like that. Also, like on tractors, we have four-way flashers. That's basically law that you have to have four-way flashers on when you're traveling that kind of speed. And we also have on all of our equipment, we have a what is called an SMV sign, a slow-moving vehicle sign. It's basically just a orange triangle, and that's also legal to have on farm equipment whenever you're traveling on the roadways.
And, you know, I think people need to also put into factor, you know, you see a farm sometimes and you assume the equipment's just traveling, you know, a quarter mile in between them. There are potential times where you guys are traveling and taking these large pieces of equipment to pretty far locations, right, Guy?
Sure enough. Yeah. We have acquaintances that could be farming as far as 15 to 20 miles from the home farm. Newer machinery now with updated transmissions and so on, they can go pretty fast. This newer stuff, some of it will travel upwards of 30 miles an hour. However, we're still large. One of the things that you need to bear in mind is we will get over. Most of the time, most any courteous farmer will get over and let people pass. The question is, where do we find a spot wide enough to get out of your way, but when we do, we will.
And I think maybe the message is the farmer who is driving these, they're trying to make sure you have the ability to pass in a safe spot. Patience, James, I'm assuming is the, is the number one rule here.
Yes. And as you know, like people in this day and age are not very patient at times. And we try to do everything we can to be safe on the roadways, because we are trying to get to our fields where we, you know, make the food that you guys eat, because there's only less than 2% of the population are farmers. So you kind of got to be kind and courteous to those people that put dinner on your on
absolutely
the table.
This is where the food's coming
from.
This is an important thing. I also want to talk about the farmers themselves. As you know, you guys are obviously getting very active. What tips would you give to farmers to make sure their equipment and their pieces of machinery are ready to be taken on the roads?
Like basically make sure you have the right safety equipment, make sure your wheels are all good, make sure your flashers are good, make sure you can be seen, make sure you know the laws, make sure you know the width of your equipment so you're not hitting people's mailboxes or, you know, drifting on the other side of the road. And basically, like, we have to be cautious too. Same as like a typical driver, you have to watch other people too. Mm-hmm. Basically defensive driving.
And there's also, as you know, you guys talk about the changes in equipment for farming. You know, I've noticed what used to be, you know, sunrise to sunset. That's changed a little bit too, as there's a number of farmers who are able to do things overnight. So, you know, for drivers at night, what could they encounter on the road potentially whenever the sun has gone down?
Well, the newer equipment has a lot better lighting as far as our field work too. And our farm has, like James's, some land that runs out to the road. And, you know, my advice to my compatriots would be, you know, watch your high beams when you come to the end of the road or the end of the field to turn at the road. You know, our lights are pretty bright. We have a couple of tractors there at home that we use a fair amount at night, and they'll light up a 50-foot circle around themselves in the drawn implement, and that's great in the field. But, you know, if we're making a turn at the end of the field, we potentially could hit somebody with some pretty bright lights.
So it's got to be more of this, you know, kind of cooperation between the drivers and the farmers themselves to say, hey, let's be courteous on all fronts to make sure everything's, you know, operating. And Guy, I do have a quick question about the equipment because, you know, my grandfather farmed, and I think the newest piece of machinery we had was like some sort of 1970 John Deere. You know, he was doing most of the operations like a 1940 Silver King. I'm amazed at these pieces of equipment now. Like, what has been the biggest changes that you've seen in farm equipment over the years?
Size, potentially. Size, we're getting bigger and bigger. Minimum till or no till is becoming...
I want to ask about that because I know my grandfather tilled everything, and now, you know, the farmland that we have as a family is no-till. What is the advantage to no-till?
James can answer that better than I can. I'm still conventional, but
So we are 100% on my farm. We are 100% no-till. Basically, the main reasons is erosion control. Whenever you till the dirt up and a big rainstorm comes, all your topsoil basically goes down the creek, and we try to prevent that. And also another big factor of it is it saves wear and tear on equipment. You know, you're out there making 2, 3, 4, or 5 passes on a field when you can basically just no-till right into it. And it also saves us cost-wise too. You know, saves you on fuel, saves you on wear and tear. And we've kind of proven that, you know, we basically try different things, and we find out what works for us.
Does it work on, you know, I mean, do you notice a difference more with hay, straw, soybeans, corn? Does it seem to work for all those types of crops?
Yeah, it does. Our last crop that we did not do no-till on was oats, and we started going full no-till on oats. And we kind of figured out that there really is no difference in till versus no-till on oats. And we thought, well, why, you know, waste time and, you know, fuel on tilling the ground when you could just no-till right into the...
Tilling, Guy?
We do. We're conventional. not really thinking that I want to change to a different line of equipment and so on to do what we've always done. One of the things that I have tried, and it's worked pretty well, is we've gone to kind of minimum till. Instead of using moldboard plow on like small grain stubble and so on, we'll go in with a heavy disc. Instead of plowing once and then disking, we'll disc twice and then work it and get it fit to plant into. And this worked for us pretty well.
Again, we're talking with James Teeley, Guy Dobbins, back of the Butler County Farm Bureau. Relatively mild winter. Does that impact how things operate here for the spring for you guys?
Yeah, it can. It can. It was pretty mild with the exception of Christmas. You know, it was pretty darn cold then. That wreaks havoc on cattle, believe me. Guy would know.
Water systems. are a big problem when you get bitter cold like that.
And it
doesn't seem to matter how well prepped you are. You still
nothing can really do when it gets zero.
Zero and below, it becomes hard work.
Yeah, and you know, again, I think as we talked about, you know, a lot of the tractors and things like that. You know, obviously, farming is a full, you know, around the clock, especially when you're talking about, you know, the cattle and different things like that. When you're looking at how Butler County farms are now, and just kind of curious about the overall state of Butler County agriculture. You mentioned the number was less than, 2% of Pennsylvania residents are farmers. What do you find here in Butler County?
Well, me as a dairy farmer, there are, I believe the statistic is less than 20 or about 20 dairy farms, just dairy farms left.
Okay, in Pennsylvania?
In Butler.
Oh, in Butler County. Okay, okay.
Yeah, in Butler County, there's less than about 20 of us left. And it's just an occupation that just keeps decreasing.
Yeah.
You know, and I think part of it is because, you know, ground. You know, like there's a lot of development going on. Mm-hmm. There's not enough ground to go around.
Yeah. And, you know, I know there was a big push at the county level for agriculture preservation, you know, to try to make sure to get that word out. What are the, you know, advantages to making sure you can secure this land to be agriculture for a very long time?
Yeah, so my farm, Teeley Dairy Farm, was actually the first farm in Butler County to be preserved. And what that does is basically provides that your farm will be farmed for a good long time.
Yeah.
You know, so like I can't sell it to like a developer or anything like that. It has to stay a farm because we're not making any more ground unless God decides to make another plant. We're not going to get any more ground.
Yeah. And again, agriculture, you know, it's a multi-billion dollar industry, obviously, in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And it's extraordinarily important to the Butler County economy. And so, you know, the advocacy work and things like that that you guys are doing is extraordinarily important. So this is just another personal question that I have because I grew up on a farm and I know nothing about farming. You know, when you guys are deciding what crops to go into what field, what goes into that plan? Because, you know, one year I see corn in a field, the next year I see soybeans.
Mm-hmm. Basically, that's crop rotation.
Okay.
You know, you try to...
It kind of just rotates through.
Yeah, okay. Because you don't want to do, like, corn on corn or bean on beans, you know.
Like, and what is the downfall of that? Like, you know, why do they say not to do that?
I would say the downfall is it'll actually starve the ground of certain nutrients.
Okay.
That's basically the main reason.
Yeah.
And you get more diseases that way.
Mm. Interesting.
Wouldn't you agree, guy?
Yeah, in cases like both James's operation and ours, both of us grow some hay.
Mm-hmm.
So our criteria, I don't know about yours, but our criteria when we come into a hay field that's starting to wear out, hay just doesn't grow on its own.
Mm-hmm.
We have to plant it. And so in our case, when we see a hay field start to dwindle, that's when we earmark it for corn. And on our place, that's when we soil test and make sure where our fertility is. Those fields usually get a coat of, shall we say, politely natural fertilizer.
Okay.
That's where the manure spreader goes. And then that field will be turned to corn, maybe a year, maybe two. One of the advantages of corn is for weed control, there are certain things that we can do for weed control on corn that we can't do in any other crop.
Mm.
Now, on a corn-bean rotation, a lot of the fellows that are raising just grain, beans are a legume. Just like a green bean or a lima bean,
mm-hmm.
they actually draw their nitrogen from the atmospheric conditions. So beans make a good crop to have ahead of corn because they will leave residual nitrogen, which the corn then will use to produce a crop.
Hmm, interesting.
So that's why you see a corn bean rotation. Some guys like a small grain in there in between. And again, that becomes a weed control situation.
So again, you know, we're talking about planting season now, making sure folks are being safe out on the road. This is National Rural Road Safety Week. But it is, you know, we talk, and we'll bring you guys back in too. You know, the harvest in the fall is another time where you're going to see a lot of, you know, farm equipment out on the roads.
Yep. And harvest time, you'll see a lot of combines, which are even bigger than some of the equipment that are on the roads now.
Yeah. So just, James, if you want to give a final message out there to drivers as, you know, they hit the rural roads during this time of year.
Just slow down, be safe, be cautious, be aware of your surroundings. And if you see a big piece of equipment, please slow down. I've heard a statistic that the equivalent of Following behind a tractor and a piece of equipment is like sitting in a stoplight for about 10 seconds. So odds are we are not going very far. And if we have a safe place, we will pull over. So just please be patient.
There you go. Also, favorite type of sweet corn? Do you have a particular?
I'm not picky.
Any type?
All
right.
Yeah, I'll eat it all.
I'm the same way. I know there are some people who are like, you know, you got to have, what do you got? I even forget what they're called. I don't know. I know there's different types.
Butter and sugar.
Butter and sugar, that was it. Yeah. All right.
As long as I put butter and salt on it.
Then it's perfectly fine. Yeah. Right. James Teeley, Guy Dobbins, Peck, Butler County Farm Bureau. Gentlemen, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. I'm Tyler Frill saying so long for now. You're listening to WISR.